Well, Senate Democrats hold their annual retreat in Annapolis, Maryland today. The temperature in the 40s, but there's a storm coming. Might there be a figurative one as well? Today we're going to take a look at both major political parties as they do some soul-searching over internal tugs of war. And let's start with the Democrats. President Obama attended the retreat today, trying to convince wayward Democrats to go along with his plans to overhaul immigration and gun control laws, and the recently revealed stand on the use of drones to secretly kill American terrorist suspects overseas. Here's Democratic Oregon Senator Ron Wyden reacting to that on All Things Considered yesterday.
The administration is essentially telling the Congress and the American people, just trust us. And I just don't think that's the standard for oversight. And I think there's also a public right to know here.
Rick Klein is senior Washington editor for ABC News. Rick, if you were a fly on that wall at today's meeting of Democrats, the Jeff Goldblum, if you will, in the room, the fly, are you going to be hearing about drones?
I think they're going to have some questions about drones, no question. It's an interesting time for the Democratic Party. On so many measures, they're riding high. They just won a big re-election for the president. They picked up seats in the House. They retained control and expanded the margin in the Senate. But by the same token, you have an administration that's taking more and more steps, both legislatively and administratively, that may or may not be popular with the Democratic base. So you have pushback on matters of national security. You have concerns on the domestic initiatives, including immigration and gun control. And everyone in that room knows that the only person that's attending that retreat who won't be on the ballot again is named Barack Obama.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because you can attribute a lot of these successes to Barack Obama, yet the criticism of him has been that he hadn't been able in his first term to get a message across to Americans about so many issues. We noted that his longtime speechwriter, Jon Favreau, is leaving. Is there going to be an attempt to maybe switch the tone and the leadership somewhat, maybe to help some of those nervous Democrats who are worried about some of these issues and their own reelections?
President Obama has said repeatedly one of his big critiques of his own performance in the first 4 years was a failure to communicate with the American people. There are a lot of Democrats in that room who would agree with that, that as popular as he is and as great as he is at making speeches and that maybe even marshaling political forces, he hasn't been as successful in defining for the American people the stakes of things and how to get involved and stay involved. And there's a sense that President Obama has followed a ritual of selling things to the public that hasn't involved trying to bring Congress along, that hasn't involved bringing public pressure to bear on the process the same way. It's been such a bitterly divisive time and so many votes that have ended up so close along party lines that the idea that the president needs to unify, come back, and begin to deliver on some of the promise of 2008, I think that is the central challenge of his second term.
Yeah. So let's take some of the issues that are being discussed behind these closed doors. Immigration reform, gun control. What's the nervousness? What can the president say?
Well, immigration, it's clear that they can get a lot done with Republicans willing to go along. The question is, do you want to do that and keep it alive as a political issue, or do you want to actually have a major legislative victory? And the way that will play out is how strong the president's push is to have a path to legalization for the 11 million undocumented who are here that doesn't involve border security steps, because that's going to be the sticking point for Republicans, and many Democrats as well from border states want to be careful on that. Gun control is far trickier. There are so many red state Democrats who are gun owners themselves and are elected by gun owners and are supported by the NRA in election after election that are very wary of the kind of broad-based gun controls that the president is talking about. There's some things like universal background checks that may be relatively easy, but the assault weapons ban, for instance, that's now expired, has never been popular among these red state Democrats. They don't want to be put in the position of having to take a vote on it, and there's going to be a lot of resistance inside the Democratic Party to the idea of the comprehensive gun control package that the president is talking about.
Yeah, well, so what do you see happening here? You've got Dianne Feinstein from California saying she might just go ahead and write her own bill banning the military-style semi-automatic weapons, something the president wants, but the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, you know, it's not, he just hasn't been overly enthusiastic. So what is this going to be, a split in the party?
It is going to be a split, and I think, though, that there's so much interest in bringing things up right now, there's no way to avoid direct votes on some of these things. Dianne Feinstein and her allies in the gun control movement are going to insist on it, and even it means putting fellow Democrats in a very difficult bind in a tough situation. But I think most people know realistically the president isn't going to get everything he wants on gun control, but the momentum is too big to stop everything from happening. So there will be some measures that I think will have broad support, maybe even some Republican support, and certainly close to unanimous Democratic support.
Yeah, I want to circle back to this memo that was leaked yesterday that outlines the Obama administration's stand on targeting for assassination Americans abroad who they believe are members of al-Qaeda and uncatchable, and so target for assassination. The big pushback on this has come from the left. We heard a little bit of it from Ron Wyden. What's going to be happening at Thursday's hearings for President Obama's pick for CIA Chief John Brennan, especially since he obviously it would be for this, but also he was not opposed to the use of torture during the Bush administration?
You'll have such an interesting dynamic because it's mostly Democrats who are questioning the use of these tactics. President Obama took a Bush-era policy and has expanded on it. He's done more drone killings by just about any independent count than President Bush did. And you do have Democrats who are questioning this on a legal as well as a moral basis. And they are insisting that that this will be a topic of conversation in these confirmation hearings. You quoted Senator Wyden from Oregon earlier. He has even suggested that, that there may be a filibuster of John Brennan's nomination if he doesn't get adequate answers. There's a pressure to release documents, which puts the Obama administration, which was eager to release documents related to enhanced interrogation techniques, in a tough spot because they don't want to do that now. These are still technically secret memos. So this is just cuts to the heart of the way the war on terror is conducted. It highlights all the contradictions and the uncomfortable questions that get raised once you get into the details of these things. President Obama has been engaging in these kind of secret wars for some time. More things are coming to light at a bit of a politically difficult time for him.
But Rick Kleinstill, in the seconds we have, sum up. You know, you have people, progressives, crowing that, you know, we're not Fox News, as Rachel Maddow says. We are attacking the president on this. Still, in the few seconds we have, what shape is the Democratic Party in, even with that split?
They are strong, and I think they feel like they're getting stronger. Big question is how they continue to get stronger in a post-Obama era, which we'll be talking about before very long at all.
Like tomorrow. Rick Klein, Senior Washington Editor for ABC News. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, up next, the Republicans. Their fight spilling out into talk radio, and it's not pretty. That's in about 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our look at the two major political parties at a crossroads, no pun intended, as we turn to the GOP. The right has been excoriating Karl Rove, whose super PAC American Crossroads started the Conservative Victory Project to offset the Tea Party and back more moderate Republicans. Talk show host Mark Levin had this to say.
We're being stabbed in the back. The group, listen to the name it assigns itself, the Conservative Victory Project. So here is a project funded by crony capitalists, funded by corporatists who are not conservative, funding a group called the Conservative Victory Project. This is the sort of thing that Barack Obama does. This is the sort of thing Marxists do.
Karl Rove, the Marxist, last night on Fox News with Sean Hannity, he hit back.
Some people think the best we can do is Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch. They're wrong. We need to do better if we hope to take over the United States Senate.
We need to get
better conservative candidates and win.
Kevin Cerulli of Politico joins us. Kevin, Rush Limbaugh says this party infighting is internecine war, and that means mutual annihilation. Is it?
Better earlier than later on, right? Karl Rove under fire this week. He's upsetting the far right in his party. He says he doesn't want to fight, but boy, has he got one. I mean, this is his effort to an American Crossroads effort to prevent some of the mistakes that happened to the Republicans on some key races. Yeah. Obviously, one of them being Todd Akin.
He mentioned Todd Akin, the Missouri congressman who used the phrase "legitimate rape." Murdoch, the Indiana Senate candidate, said even rape was intended by God. And this criticism, you know, of those people started after the elections. You know, the GOP had their own retreats. We heard Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal say the party has to get over being the stupid party. But Levin also said last night on his program, why are we following Rove? You know, he's a loser. Does he have a point there? Karl Rove didn't have that many winning candidates.
But when you flip it, Karl Rove's response to that would be, without all of American Crossroads' effort and the funds that they poured into the races during the last cycle, they would have lost the House. And at the end of the day, that the government is still divided Congress and the president maintained the presidency, obviously. But would that have happened without American Crossroads? His argument is that it would not have.
Okay, well, what else are you seeing on the Republican landscape here? Yesterday, we had House Majority Leader Eric Cantor speak. You know, tell us more about how you're seeing this internal fighting come out even in his speaking yesterday.
What's interesting about what House Majority Leader Eric Cantor said yesterday was he went for a different tone. He, instead of attacking Democrats, he did, you know, take some jabs to the left, but instead he said that the average American is not thinking about where the Republican Party is trying to go. They're thinking about, you know, their how they can get through the economy. And so he really struck a chord with trying to put Republican policies as opposed to the rhetoric that we've seen against Republicans and Democrats. So he's trying to sell and rebrand and re-message what the GOP stands for.
Now stop talking about the fiscal debates. Talk about health, happiness, prosperity, values, bringing it back to something that was the mantra of the party. But you know, the fiscal debate is on the horizon. You've got the across-the-board spending cuts kick in March 1st. The president yesterday asked Congress to pass a temporary package to extend that deadline. Some Republicans are saying they're happy to let, you know, the government go into this, you know, these spending cuts and push it down the road. You know, where is it? You know, when the push comes to shove, what's going to happen within the Republican Party?
What's going to happen within the Republican Party is that they're going to have to engage eventually in contentious debates on issues like gun control and issues like immigration. Right now we're seeing, you know, to some extent with immigration, for example, that they are being very receptive and offering taking a much softer tone. But folks like Florida Senator Marco Rubio has indicated that there is a hard line within that immigration debate with regards to the border and border security. So where they will engage and where they will have that tough line when that comes back out could hurt them. As you and I both know, they poll significantly lower compared to House Democrats,
right,
who have an awful approval rating as well.
So they have that debate, and we have talked about that in the past, and you have a lot of people within the party saying we've got to change our ways on immigration, you know, being very transparent about it so that we can get the Hispanic vote. What about gun control? Will they stick to their guns on that issue?
When you look back at previous debates that the country has had on the Second Amendment, universal background checks has been an area where both sides have been able to compromise on. And so I think as we look forward, Cantor signaled yesterday in public statements that he would, in fact, be willing to leave the door open on compromising on that issue.
But when where?
With improving background checks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you get into assault weapons bans and some of these more contentious issues, they're less likely to do so. But that would put it in the Democrat side, particularly those centrist Democrats who would have to also make a tough decision about that could upset some of their voters as well.
Kevin, what do you see happening here? You know, there are some Republicans who yearn for the days of decades ago when even people like Barry Goldwater said to it they would be moderate today, you know, within the party because the party has tilted so far to the right. Do you see some sort of resurgence of the Rockefeller Republican, the fiscally conservative, but maybe not as much socially so? Do you see the Tea Party having a resurgence? What, you know, glance in the tea leaves.
Look no farther than New Jersey. I think the one to watch is Governor Chris Christie. He's been an outspoken critic with basically every politician in Washington, and I think that he is in a state that is, you know, largely Democratic, and the way that he's been able to navigate that state could be foreshadowing of the years to come for the party.
Okay, Kevin Cirilli, Politico reporter. We've been taking a look at the sort of the heart and soul of both major political parties in this country. And just you say, look to New Jersey. We want to note that the Democrats we talked about earlier, they think they're sitting pretty with their future presidential candidate in Hillary Clinton. Is the field narrowed for the Republicans?
I think Christie, I think Jindal, and Rand Paul, to some extent, everyone who's been attacking their own party seems to have an eye for 2016.
Kevin Cirilli, Politico, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And how about you? As the parties retinker, what would you like to see them do? We'd love to hear from you at hereandnow.org. Back in a minute. Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Institute of Contemporary Art Boston, now showing This Will Have Been, Art, Love, and Politics in the 1980s, icaboston.org. And Harvard University, whose Harvard Summer School offers courses for high school, college, and adult students to earn academic credit and experience Harvard campus life, summer.harvard.edu.